Okay, let's bring you back to how you became an agent or a music promoter. How did that all begin?
When I was about 10 years old, there was a band in Claremore, the Oklahoma Swingbillies. I have pictures of them. Tommy also was in that band. He went on and became a superstar in the music world. I would go there on Saturday night. They had benches around there. They didn't have tables and chairs like they do now. One of my brothers ran the gate for them, and then he sat in and played with them a lot. I'd roam around, and I'd see when they finished the bottle of whiskey. They're dry states, you know, so they have the whiskey in their boots. I knew enough about whiskey from my dad, what I could do. When they finished the bottle, I'd walk up and say, "You want me to go get you another bottle?" "Yeah, will you do that?" I said, "Yeah, I'll do it. But I want a quarter." And they all knew I'd get a quarter for it. I'd go down about two blocks down the street from that, Lamb Carroll's, the name of the place, and he'd let me take it back up there and collect for him. I'd make four or five runs a night up there sometime, make $2.50, $3 every once in a while on a good night. So I was a bootlegger myself, I guess, at an early age.
And where was this now?
In Claremore, at the Legion Hut.
Okay.
Now it's a parking lot for the police cars. It was a dance every Saturday night. They were in the Aitron, Oklahoma Swingbillies.
You were interested in music?
Oh, yeah, I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And so when I started actually booking, I just put together a few things. Channel 8 had some kind of a show up there, and I call and get somebody that I knew on it. And I enjoyed that, but I hung around at Leon McCullough so much at Cimarron Ballroom, and he was so nice to me. I might have been in his way, maybe, but he gave me something to do. And after the dance on Saturday night, sometime I'd stay and help clean up everything because there's always a pretty good mess. And then he'd have me start taking tickets at the door, and then rock and roll was taking over the Western Swing thing, and so he was having to travel to Las Vegas and Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and South Louisiana and play with his bands in order to survive with a band like he had. And so he got to trust me so much that he had me to book the Cimarron Ballroom while he would be out. Speedy West had just moved here from Fender place. Speedy is a famous steel guitar player. So I had Speedy put a band together, and they would be the house band, but I would bring in Jim Reeves, different ones, Ray Price, Conway Twitty, acts like that.
Patsy Cline, was she part of that?
Patsy Cline, yeah, brought her twice. And one time I did an album. We didn't do it. 30 years later, her husband took it and did it. We taped the show that night. Of course, it was big news for her having the album live at the Cimarron Ballroom. And very poor quality, I mean. We taped everything down there on a reel-to-reel. I did an interview with Patsy Cline, and it was on a reel-to-reel. Billy Parker took it and made it into a cassette, but now he can't even play a cassette. Patsy Cline was really a sweet person, a nice person to work with, and very, very nice. I got a letter from her mother hanging on my wall wanting a copy of what we recorded of hers, and this letter tells her history so good, how she raised her two daughters and so forth. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks after she wrote that letter to me, she died. That letter, I don't know how I got it, is addressed Mr. Ray Bingham, booking agent, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. I got that in my mailbox, and it don't say nothing about Claremore or nothing. Kind of interesting.
You were that famous. You didn't need it. Right. You were that famous.
Yeah.
I
always hear him say, "Send your donation to Oral Roberts University, Tulsa, Oklahoma."
Exactly. Or Billy Graham. You said, "Billy Graham, Minneapolis, Minnesota."
Yeah.
You were just
I Ray Bingham booking agent.
There you go. You're just as famous as they were.
I'm sure that's going to impress a whole bunch of people.
Let me bring you back to the Cimarron Ballroom, because Cimarron Ballroom was in competition with Kane's Ballroom.
Right. Bob Wills only played the Canes 2 or 3 years, unless he's just traveling through with stuff again. Yeah. He played there 2 or 3 years. Then he went on the road all the time, and Johnny Lee took over the deal at Canes. And Johnny Lee never played Cimarron, not one single time. He played Thursday and Saturday nights at Canes, and Leon played Wednesday and Saturday night at Cimarron.
Okay.
So the weeknight, they weren't head-to-head, but on weekends they were.
So did both places get packed out?
I remember them being so full. Sometimes you just decide, well, I'm not even going to try to go in there. But, boy, when Blue Suede Shoes came along, that changed everything.
That
600
was...
people in there, there'd be maybe 200.
Yeah.
Know?
When Elvis Presley came along with Blue Suede Shoes is what you were
That's
saying.
That's true.
But that was pretty exciting. It had to be really fun between those two places.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Billy and I, when I had, Billy says it was Buck Owens, but I know it wasn't. It was Conway Twitty at Canes. Billy tells the story, and he says Buck Owens. So I had Billy opening for him, and somebody else famous was over at Canes. And I had done some booking at Canes also. But Alvin Perry ran Canes. He knew that I was working at Cimarron. So Billy and I said, we'll run over to Canes and listen to this guy. I don't remember who it was, but some big star at the time. We go over there, and they just motion us to go on through, and we go right up by the bandstand. And about halfway through one song, his big, strong hands grab my shoulder and Billy's shoulder. He between us. He said, come on, boys, you got to go out. Ground over was security over there. And Billy said, what do you mean we got to go back? I said, Alvin don't want either of you in here. You're barred from here for life. He said, he's trying to kill his crowd by booking over there and give us a lecture as he was walking us through the door. So we exited and didn't go back for a long time.
Oh, wow. Well, the competition was so stiff.
Yeah.
He couldn't take it. And who was that again who took you out?
Gene Crownover was still a guitar player for John Lee Wills and Bob Wills. His brother was the head of security at Canes Ballroom. I don't remember his first name, but his name was Crownover. And he was Gene's brother.
Mm.
A nice guy. I mean, he was just doing what his boss told him to do, you know. He's mm-hmm. a nice guy. There was three dance halls going at that time. That one at 41st and Memorial Caravan.
Oh.
It wasn't called the Caravan when it first opened, but sometimes, like Hank Thompson would be there, Conway at one, and Ray Price at all three at the same time. But that's what people liked in those days.
That Caravan building is still there, isn't it, at 41st and
yes,
Memorial?
Yes, it is. And he just closed it down about a year ago. He kept it going all these years. Jack, I can't remember his last name now.